Welcome to Real Liberty Media, right here on a Friday at noon central, RLMradio.xyz. What matters? Ponder Gander. So, what am I trying to say? Well, let's talk about it a little bit. I've got the great Grimner along with me today, co-hosting for me, and this is off the cuff. I didn't do radio this week, didn't build a broadcast, so we're going to throw it out here. Hey, Grim, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Grimmy, how the hell are you doing?
Well, doing. So, yeah, I had some friends stop by and whiz, like, way into the morning. And the plus, I didn't spend enough time this week to build a broadcast. So, I'm just throwing it out there. And I thought I'd ask you to come along. And we'll just go back and forth. But what I want to build into is trying to outline what all this occupation is around us and where my involvement in the Bundy Ranch standoff is and how that relates to actual freedom.
Let's start off with some terminology there.
Okay.
Occupation.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. What's the occupation?
All right, so for the Bundy Ranch, right?
In general.
Pardon?
Just in general.
Okay, to occupy would be to be in a space. You can occupy, or your mind can be occupied in ideology as opposed to an actual physical place. There's a big contrast in this world that we're about, and the narrative changes. And as we say here about the clap, that's the corporate lame-ass propaganda that abounds. And that's what we're here at Real Liberty Media doing, is to oppose that and give that alternative view. And that's sad that it has to be called alternative. Hey, Moosey. So where were we at? Orwellian, 1984, where speech is hate. We've got a big move for censoring folks from Facebook and Twitter. You know, whether you like them or not, whether what they say is hate, it's good for them to say it. We want to know what people have in their mind. I say guard your words because they are held against you. And when you go beyond into that physical occupation from your mind, then you know you're opposing this beast, this powers that occupy our nation and the world. Then you put yourself in a position of vulnerability where you could lose your life or liberty. And as Hal talks about, is to stay out of that jurisdiction. Don't place yourself in there. And if you're going into a courtroom to try to beat them, that's about a no-win situation. The Bundys ended up in, Cliven was in for 700 days, and people like to say they were exonerated or that they were acquitted, but that's not true. It's not over, and that was that's what I said to Cliven Bundy in front of the sheriff's department there in Las Vegas when he asked for questions from media. I said, I believe I'll start this out when the hands went up and AP and all the other folks, and I asked them, I said, where are we at? We're right back where we started from, and that's what it is. Now, how did we get to there? And Circle, she's been holding me to account, and I've not fulfilled this obligation to tell this in a concise manner, so maybe I can at least get back to that outline. Bundy, he was the last rancher standing in southern Nevada out of 50-odd ranchers that had either moved off the land and taken their property back from, grazing and water and so forth. We'll have to talk about how and why that came to. But so here he comes, the BLM, in 2014, and start rounding up his cattle after over 20-odd years of him refusing to pay extortion to the Bureau of Land Management in grazing fees. So why is he paying grazing fees? Well, you go back to the establishment of the BLM. Before that, there are two agencies that combined really to bring that back. And before that, the Taylor Grazing Act. So what happened in the early 1900s was it was a free-for-all, range war. People piled their cattle and sheep upon the land and ate it down to near dirt. But what it does rebound There's some exceptions to some sensitive areas that I could see that need protection. Anyways, so we come back into the 1970s, and we have this Endangered Species Act and all that stem from there. And it's different critters in different parts of the country. But for Clive and Bundy and others, it was the desert tortoise. They say that the cows is killing the tortoise. I'm still wanting to tell the story of the tortoise and the hare and rewrite the Aesop's fable. But the tortoise is the bad guy, and he's really not a tortoise. He's an impersonator. And I'm talking about Kieron Suckling from the Center of Biological Diversity. And what they do, they go around suing the government and making big bucks and then affecting policy change. So it's a... Hal, help me out. What would you call that? Where they these non-governmental agencies or organizations are behind statutes and legislation and stuff like that. And then let me tell a little story. I'm on the Appalachian Trail a couple of years ago, and typical of people that enjoy the land, they believe that land should be protected. So I'm talking to this young couple and tell them I was at the Bundy Ranch, and prior our connection, our vibe is in sync. And as soon as I said that, there was a switch, click. Wow, you're one of these whatever, and you know you hate the land and all this and biodiversity. You know this is what I'm getting from it. No, that this is this big disconnect. People on the left, I'll call it, the so-called environmentalists are tricked into thinking they're doing good. I'm going to tell you that it's not true, that the tortoise is actually benefited by cattle on the land. Why? Now, you may think this odd, but what do tortoises eat? They like stuff that's wet and moist. So there lies the patties on the ground. And you can hear a poop sometimes. That's another story. That's what they've the other side opposing the Bundys would call the supporters a poot, and they came up with that because Dwayne Emert built a ditch up in Malheur as a bunker, and they said that it was the crapper, the latrine. Anyway, so Grant Thornton and Captain Carl and I came together to define poot as an acronym. They came up with patriots. Overthrowing oppressive tyrants. And I had originally came out with people opposing oppressive tyranny. Hey, Grimner Putin. Hey, Grimner, come back in with me here and rein me in, because I go 100 directions, and this is what circle's trying to get a hold of me with it. Throw that circle loop around me and pull me back in. So help me, Grimner.
My main question. Okay, when was the original Bundy Ranch standoff? When you were out there standing under the bridge?
April the 12th of 2014. I'd arrived the day
so
before.
So five plus years ago.
Uh huh. Yep, it's been over 5 years now.
And at this point in time, the Bundys are exonerated more or less.
No. And yes. In the eyes of so many Americans, there was hundreds of people that came out there, hundreds that day, and over a period of time, some thousands of people. I got there on the 11th, Friday, the day before, and I set up camp and I laid in and went back and forth between there and Vegas over some several weeks there. And over these past few years, look more and more at all the information relative to it. So how do we come to where we are right now? Well, it's incremental, step by step. But were they exonerated in the eyes of many Americans? Yes. How? By the presentation of the First and Second Amendment. The First Amendment is really, there's not much chance of safety without the Second Amendment. But can you, if you go to guns, are you going to win against the government? Not usually, right? Some people think that was a win, but it was a postponement. And the feds, I think they were very shocked to to find themselves exposed. What happens, hold on a sec, Missy. What happens with the federal courts, especially even in state courts and municipal courts, these set of rules are stacked against you. So 97% conviction rate, most people take a plea. Those that go to trial, only probably 3% of those people ever go to not a innocent charge, or not being declared innocent, but not guilty. Big difference, right?
So, right.
What happened was, is the prosecution and the investigation was in such collusion and corruption, and with Giglio and Brady violations, that Judge Gloria Navarro could no longer cover up the crime of the state and had to throw it out with prejudice. Okay, Moosey says, I understand firsthand knowledge of the Bundy Ranch incident, but there have been other similar situations. Yeah, they were just one in a series. You've got ranch confiscation, people killed and are arrested, put in prison for the rest of their life because of the criminal justice. And, yeah, it's the system, all right. Yeah, it's just us that get it on the bad end of the beat there.
Right. But the thing is, okay, and you've been focused on this like
yeah.
a laser
yeah.
for these 5 years.
Yeah, well, especially the last two in the beginning, and then, you know, the other stuff in radio and so forth. But this is, I think that, and Flash said yesterday, 20 years from now, this is going to be a big deal. Why is it so important? And what's going on now with the censor of people on the internet for their speech? You know, step by step, right? Slowly it turned. And so why, Moosey, on one is because I'm a semi-expert on this because of my involvement as a witness for the Bundys. Out of, I think, 1,400 and something people, I was number 303. But I've been called, I think my testimony was very, they say that the standoff was, well, we call it, and I quote Evan Bundy, a peaceful pushback. And so the feds say that people were there to incite violence, and Bundys were headed this up. Now, Ammon and Jason Patrick and myself were, Ammon was listening to Jason and I talk outside the trailer up there where the marshaling point was for folks to come, and heard us talking. He came out and he says, I've been listening to you guys. I didn't know he was in there, and I'm really liking what you're saying. What Jason and I were talking about was if there would be people there to incite violence. You know, they always send in the provocateurs, even if the provocateur unknowingly is a provocateur just because they're an idiot and want to see violence. And there were people there like that. So I posted in memories on Facebook. I seen it that I was out there. I said there's good folks and bad folks on both sides. Now, who headed up the federales was Dan Love. Evil bastard for sure. Lots of history on him bragging about people he'd caused to suicide themselves and other things. Very bad man. And this is typical of what we find in these militarized agencies of the federal government, the Department of Interior, U.S. Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Fish and Game, and so forth. They come, I mean, it's like, these are the same, it would be like a strike team they brought back from Afghanistan or something. This isn't, the government, you know, they're not there as their own entity. They don't exist to protect themselves, and they have no right of power over the individual. And that's all gone in, it's convoluted in so many ways. And people say, well, we need law. Yes, we do need law. Law settles peace, but it's convoluted in the legal of the bar association. And this is where the disconnect comes in. You think you, well, the Bundys thought, yeah, you know what we're doing here? We want to make this a point and issue, and we want to bring it to the courts because, you know, we want the truth to be told. But that's not how the court works.
Okay, really. Uh-huh. See, Lucy's asking some really good questions right there now.
Okay.
she says, still the sole focus on this one incident. What else needs to happen in regards to it? Do you think the Bundys are trying to move on from it? What are you trying to accomplish? Why keep repeating the story? What's the point?
Because it's not over. And what is so important about this, Moosey, is that the right to redress government. Now, they came along with court orders saying, get your cows off the land.
But what is your goal in all this?
To make sure that this story remains and is told in truth, because the mainstream media, they don't tell the whole story. It's just like how it works in the court. It's more of who asked the question wins, as Ammon Bundy said. If you control the narrative, how can you lose, right?
Well, but who's controlling the narrative? It's obviously, it's not you, it's not the Bundys. The narrative is being controlled as it's always controlled via the clap.
Mm-hmm. So why do I stay on this? Because it is important, Moosey, that this, if you shut up, then what? It goes into the memory hole, like so many other people. But what about the Browns? Wayne Hayes, the list is long. What about the political prisoners? We've got Todd Engel and Greg Burleson and Jerry DeLimas, other folks that are on and on and on. The guy up in Missouri, they're serious about it. I watched a video a day or so ago where they went to do audits on police stations, and they went in and asked for a form for to file a complaint against an officer. And out of some, I think, 40 or 50 departments they went to, only three just like, okay, here's your form. The rest of them wanted to say, who are you? What's the deal? You got to go through me gatekeepers. So, you know, protecting, standing guard at that thin blue line. Thin blue line right here on the Audacity is a lot lower than yours is, it looks like, too, by the way.
Well, then speak louder. I don't know.
Maybe if I move the mic. Hey, that made a big difference. Look at that. I'll put the mic
not too close.
Right about there. Okay. So bring me back on track. Where are we at? Why is it so important? What's going to happen if... And they're going to come back for the Bundy. So it's not over. It is not over. There's still that court order to remove the cattle, and it was just here recently reaffirmed. Cliven had sued that the federal government has no right to claim the lands. There we got to go back to Hal Anthony, the difference between public land and public domain. What happened was Congress was opening up lands out here west. They wanted to encourage folks to come out here, so you know they gave over homestead and other rights to own, like the grass is growing on the land. If a cow's out there grazing, that's and they're established how they come to ownership of all that. It's not like, oh, I've just going to run my cows out here, right? We go back and so, Taylor Grazing Act.
Just to be clear, just to be perfectly clear on the land.
Mm-hmm.
Leasing that land, is it his land? Is he on that land according to the state illegally?
What it is 80 miles about north of Las Vegas, northeast up Interstate 15, going up to Utah. And right before the Arizona Strip is Mesquite, Nevada. Down about 8 miles below there, along the Virgin River, is Bunkerville. And then past it is an old town of Riverside. It's an old crossing that has been there and occupied over time for centuries by the natives and the Spanish Trail and the Mormon Trail. Now, it wasn't just a single roadway, this trail. It shifted depending on times of the year and conditions. And so, and the Spanish Trail was more of a mule train type of deal. And along comes later on, we get the highway. I believe that's Highway 91. And I've got some video of an old section of that where it crossed up in the desert. But anyways, the highway system, America in the old days, you know, was not connected. Of course, the Western movement and so forth, and then the trains and all that come along. And then highways, and finally the interstate system from Eisenhower. Then you got ingress and egress. Again, Hal Anthony behind the woodshed, where you're going to be able to understand the actuality of what it is for producers on the land and so forth. Very important. That's where wealth comes from. In the occupation, they come to seize all the wealth. So you got to get people off the land, and how to do so by any means necessary. They start out slow. This has been a long process here for Bundy. And he's saying, no, not just because you say so. How did it happen? Well, they start changing the laws. What was the BLM? But they're supposed to be there to help manage the lines, make sure that the range war is stopped. This is where your cattle are and so forth. Cliven has 160 acres down there, just along the river by Riverside, Nevada. And adjoining is what some people call public domain, or they call it public lands, but inside of public lands is the public domain also. These are disposed of by Congress to the people. Again, you know, they wanted to populate the West and encourage folks to go out there and so forth. Now, Cliven Bundy's family has been in this area since just past the mid-1800s. Of course, my family from Tennessee over around Kingsport, there or in Kingsport, from the 1700s. I can go back there, and I met the lady that is direct descendant of my ancestor from there, still on the land, a different name. But still, nonetheless, I can't go back there and say, hey, this is from my ancestors, and I want some of it, too. No, it doesn't work like that. Cliven Bundy, well, they try to tell the story then that it gives you connection, but it doesn't establish the right of ownership to these properties, like the water and the grass. But he does establish that with his father's purchase at other ranch there in a farm, 160 acres in the desert along the river, and surrounding that is many thousands of acres. I want to tell you, if you're not familiar with what the Western Desert look like.
Yes, tell me this.
Uh-huh.
The title. A certificate of title for that property. Whose name is on it? Who holds it?
Now, this, see, Don Quixote, he tried to make a point of this that Cliven doesn't own the ranch itself. It's in a trust. But this is legal protections in a sense, right, this trust. You know, Mormons are very family, patriarchal type. Very big on family and, you know, generations down, even in the back, going backwards, you know, in their genealogies and so forth. So it's a big thing for them. So it's not like Cliven Bundy, so I'm going to have this forever. No, my children and their children and their children's children will continue on. Ranching, especially in the desert, is hard work. Well, any cowboy ain't generally too lazy, but it's a fight to keep a tradition, in a sense, that's being opposed.
So the title is held by a trust.
Yeah, that would be the actual 160 acres itself, included in these.
Now, who's involved in that trust?
The Bundy family and their progeny, I guess I'd call it.
Okay, so in that way, the trust owns the land legally by title.
Yeah, and you know, a trust, in a sense, I guess, would be a legal person, in a sense. Don't hold me to legalese, but proper terminology on that. But, you know, in Vinny speak, that's what I'd call it.
Well, I mean, that's really where it comes down, right? I mean, you have to know via their system, this state title system, who has the legal right to use that property?
Well, Cliven Bundy, I guess he would probably be head of the trust. So what, I don't know when he passes who it would go to, Ammon or Ryan, and continue in lineage.
Okay, so if he does hold title to that property via the trust, then why did the BLM come in and say that otherwise?
Okay, so he, the farm is in the trust. I'm not sure how that connects exactly to the other property, these titled rights, that is water. And all this, everybody's gone except for Cliven. So if he's gone, then who gets it? Well, you know, they come in through deception for theft, and then who owns it? Those people that, you know, are part of the caucusocracy. Frumpy says about the BLM uranium, one Clinton, Harry Reid. There's a lot to that, and a lot to it. And I have not taken it upon myself because there's a lot of convolution and stuff. And yeah, if you want to know about that, you need to go to Laws. I'll go collect it, a link when we're done, and bring you back. If you come back here to the R-Log to listen, you'll find it there. But he goes in very deep about all that stuff. Other people are too, in this collusion, Russian collusion with Hillary. But, Trump, is he in collusion? Yeah, I would say so. That's just the nature of the beast, right? Warring against one another.
That's Act 4 or whatever. It doesn't mean anything what, you know, whose name and
it's
collusion and these Russians versus Americans or in conjunction with Americans. That's above their pay grade.
Right.
Obamas and the Trumps and the Clintons, they just walk out there like they're, you know, on an infomercial trying to sell you some nonsense.
Right.
But they're not the ones that are actually setting all that stuff up.
No, it's been in the making for not just years, but decades, and even into prior centuries. This occupation of the world has been set in place for a very, very long time. Step by step. It's very patient. I mean, 20 years waiting to come collect the cattle because they say they got to kick it off because they're hurting the tortoises. But that's not true at all. Again, the tortoise is benefited. All life is benefited. So when I was down, I spent 40 days, 28 and 11. There, I guess it was almost 40. Just it was running into 40 days on the river. But anyways, so I'm down there, and I brought a bottle of water with me. And after a period of time, I, of course, used up that water. There runs a river down there. It's the Virgin River, but they accidentally switched the names of the Virgin River and the Muddy River. And so that was supposed to have been the Muddy River. So it runs muddy, but still kind of clear, you know, particles of dirt. Dirt don't hurt. But anyways, I'll go over and visit the Bundys and spend the day with them and ask them. I thought sure there'd maybe be a spring coming up to run into the river there, but they're way on up in the mountains, and the springs come out, and then they run back down into the ground. So way down in the desert, there's not the water. But what Cliven and other ranchers have done, they pipe the water down into tanks, and the cows can go get a drink because they've, you know, they'll browse and move so far in a day, but they've got to be within range of water to return, you know, back for a drink at night and then lay down. What else lives out of that water? Do they fence the other animals out of that water? No. So otherwise, animals that can live there are there because of the rancher, because of the water, and because all the improvements that they do. The BLM was supposed to, you know, the fees were supposed to pay for improvements, and but now it goes that it's steal it and then use the money against the people. But there we've got a water tank. And what does the Bundys do? Well, sometimes a baby quail will get up there and fall in and drown, or maybe a lizard, or even just a bug. So what do? Well, they'll lay a stick up in there, a branch or a board, where that anything gets in there can crawl back out. Preserving life, not condemning of life. And that is what Curon Suckling is trying to say, is the poor little old tortoise. Well, in my tale of the tortoise and the hare, H-A-I-R, the tortoise and the hare, hoof, and hide the truth, that's the true story of the tortoise and the hare. And Curon Suckling, I cast will cast as the tortoise. And he ain't really a tortoise. He's hiding in that shell. It's a shell game. It's a stalking horse, right? Hal Anthony again. Sunday's right here at Real Liberty Media. Noon on the Pacific side. Noon o'clock. You better come listen if you ain't listening to Hal. All these people that supported the Bundys. It all falls on deaf ears. Hal had been, had he been heated in the early days, people wouldn't have been in prison. People wouldn't have been killed. But everybody thinks they have the answer, and so you get busy running down these rabbit holes, and where you end up, not in a good spot. There's many, many people that are silenced forever now because they...
Tell me this, and I know it's not directly part of it, but a couple years after the Bundy situation, after the initial Bundy situation, there was that deal up in Oregon at Malheur, whatever, however you say that. Why were the Bundys up there?
Okay, the Hammonds were convicted of an arson charge for setting prescribed burns or back burns, or setting back burn, that is, to burn back into a fire to protect their feedstock and their ranch land. They have right to many, many thousands of acres up there for cattle. Now, the big thing is what? Shut down grazing, shut down logging. What do we have now? Big, huge fires and stuff. It compounds the problem. Man has been involved and changed the environment, so you just can't turn it back to nature and think it'll go back the way it was. Man on the land, with their hand, brings improvement and progress. And the environmental, extreme environmental movement wishes to shut it all down, exclude everybody, and really for in the long run is to control, of course, all the resources. If you want to say resource, it's a source that lies there. Wealth comes after man takes it in his hand and makes product or so forth, the producer. Where are we at now? We're in a service industry in America, where McDonald's and Starbucks and AutoZone is where a lot of people are working. Here in Clinton, Arkansas, there's nothing here hardly. If you get a job, you pretty much want to keep it.
I don't think you answered my question, though.
All right, try again.
Why were the Bundys up in Oregon?
Okay. So the Hammonds, they were brought back to court. A judge said, all right, you got, I think it was like a year and 4 months being another, the son had a little, or the father and the son both had a certain amount of time, 5 years, and they did a little bit of time there, and the judge says, yeah, go ahead. Then the feds come back and say, an appeal, no, under this, what was the act? Anyways, it's Death Penalty Act. And it comes about, you know, with this Homeland Security and all this terrorism and so forth. And anybody that would set a fire on public or federal lands, then that's a 5-year minimum. So they were called back to jail, and the Bundys, Ryan, Ammon, and some other folks that I know from the Bundy Ranch, they decided to go up there and protest the Hammonds have to go back to prison. And of course, Trump comes along here recently and pardoned them, right? And now the BLM is giving back their graze there in Oregon. So, man, what a big, terrible circle. The Bundys go there to protest this. Upon the Hammonds' decision to not resist and to submit and turn themselves in and go back to prison, somebody planted a seed. Now, this is some bit of conspiracy in my mind, but realize that all the number of folks that took that to occupy that little outbuilding out there in some wetlands, bird sanctuary, at least about 17 or 19 of them were insiders. They were informants and there for the government. So they set things in place to happen. They wanted things to happen, and they were working and using trickery to, you know, they should have left the refuge. They should have made it a point whatever, maybe a week or something, say, okay, we've made our point, and then move to another. But as Ammon said, they want to make a hard stand. Then you get people in there, provocateurs. This is all, I won't say common knowledge, but it is, that information is there, and it's factual, that these people working for the government were coming there trying to get things going. You know, when I went to trial up there with Bruce Doucette in Denver, I was listening to some testimony from a marshal undercover, Marshall. Anyways, he is saying in the recording, okay, let's go kidnap this judge and we'll just take him to the state line and kick him out and tell him don't come back. They're trying to provoke the crime, but you know how the law reads? They can do that. There's no problem with facilitating a crime for the government if they can catch somebody. And that's what we see, right? That's all these FBI busts and stuff for terrorists. How'd they get to there? They made the crime, facilitated. And I still ain't answered your question. Hold on. I don't think. Why'd they go there? In protest. Make a hard stand. In Bunkerville, is a peaceful pushback. And this is the same thing. So what should have happened? They should have been given trespass tickets. That's what they expected. They wanted, again, to bring the issue to court because they thought truth would prevail. Truth has been pretty hard to cover up against the Bundys. It comes out. It's pretty miraculous that they are not still languishing in the federal system for the rest of their life.
Okay, but the primary thing that got the Bundys in jail and in trouble that brought a lot of this to the head was what happened in Oregon rather than what happened in Nevada.
No, both, actually. They captured them in Oregon first. They went to trial. The first round, Ammon, Ryan, Shauna Cox, Ryan Payne, there's a few others there. They beat it in court. Again, miraculous. But did they go free? Nope. Marcus Mumford was Ammon's attorney, and he got beat down and tased in court by the marshals there for saying, hey, let my man go. And they said, no, we got to hold him for Nevada. Well, show me the warrant. They didn't have no warrant, and he's protesting what they do. Beat him down, tased him. He's the mumbling Mumford, or the stuttering lawyer, Marcus Mumford. Look him up. That's how he would come about talking in court. And it's actually kind of effective. It brings more attention. It's for them, the jurors, to try to just make out exactly what he's going to say. So it is an advantage in so many ways. There's a lot of information. Still fun, Marcus Mumford. I kind of like the guy. I hate the Bar Association because they are the criminal. And I talked there in Nevada in front of the federal courthouse there to a few lawyers. And I thought I had a couple of good questions at least. But they do protect themselves to kind of backtrack and make excuse for how the system is. Dan, forgot his last name. Sorry, Dan.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So your primary goal at this point in time, with the Bundy situation, and solely with the Bundy situation, because you're not really looking at other ones.
I am. No. That's not true at all. But I'm not bringing it to forebear as far as, you know, postings or whatever on Twitter or covering. Some of it overlaps, but some people just rambling. I'm a great rambler, I guess, but I'm trying to bring in a focus. And early in this series, I said, I've overloaded myself here, and I can't keep up this schedule to produce the 13 and a half parts for this series. So I just threw it all in back in the pile. I just build it back up, and I'll come back in. But here comes summer, and so I've got, this is 12, and I've got, one is 13 plus the half, so two more episodes of this series. Then I'll come back in and try to do it again right. Failure is not a bad thing. It just means to do it again, right?
Yeah.
So it is important. Why? The Bundys fell out of favor with many when Ammon, you know, weighed in on the this border issue and immigration. You and I would agree with Ammon that people ought to be able to go wherever they can go, and you know, if they're accepted. What if where would, let's say, a whole bunch of migrants came up here? Where would they go if they came here, and then there was nobody there to give them a job? Would they come up here? Well, they try to say they come up for welfare, this social protective system, and all its flaws or whatever.
I just told you.
Huh? Told me what?
That I just killed you.
How'd you kill me?
Well, you appeared as a duck, so I shot you.
Oh, good for me. Quack, 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 quack. From the real Vanna White. You know, there's an imposter here that throws out decoys.
Yeah, bastard.
Yeah, bastard. Bastard. You killed that duck. Quack, quack. Kiss my quack. I'm
okay.
No duck.
Anyway, here's my view, my opinion on the whole thing. While the Bundy situation is important and interesting, I think you've got a lot more in you than this one issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to hear some more of that other stuff.
I've done a lot of other stuff too, and my past cast from UCY of What Matters Worldwide was not well received here because folks don't like Jose, or as one might say, Jose. So I threw that back on. I want to take a little time and get out here in the world because, well, like this week, for example, I even doing it all week to build a broadcast, sometimes that transition between these ideas is what I might describe today as Vinny speak. So anyways, this week, this project, this fifth wheel, had damage in the back, so I had to tear all this back end out. But to do that, I had to move out of that section. So that means to move a kitchen outside, water lines, a gas line, the toilet, you know, all these problems. So I'm spending time doing stuff. It's pretty outside. I'm going to be, you know, hitting the river. Looking to go to Tulsa. That's the plan so far. Head up to Tulsa tomorrow to see the Lost Dog Street Band.
Now what? How far are you from Tulsa?
I think it's a couple hundred miles.
That's all?
No, maybe a little bit more. Now I forget. It ain't far. Three hours or something. We're gonna stop in Lost Valley up in Arkansas, up by the Buffalo River. Overnight camp up there, I think, Saturday. I don't even know what day they're playing. But anyways, last night I have friends over, and I never drank this stuff before. Crystal State Rockhound IPA. That is some really good ale. And it comes from Little Rock, Arkansas. Lost 40 Brewing. Good stuff. Yeah, what else did it say on there? Yeah, it's India Pale Ale. It is delicious.
There you go, 197 miles.
Yeah, if I was right, a couple hundred. It ain't far. And we're going up back through the country, and like I said, up to Buffalo. That's a national river. I think it was the first national river established in America. My friend Lacey, she interviewed me, did an article, and some of her work also includes a hog farm up there that... factory farming, you know, then you got all this waste, you know, pig crap. What do you do with it? Well, they put it in these reservoir things, but there's the possibility of that washing down into the Buffalo River, and that, you know, would kill off life in there and stuff. Protecting the environment is very important, right? But there is a line in there where the government crosses over intrusion, and some people support that because they think, we've got to do this. Some things are important and some things are lies. And the whole thing about the Bundy ranches is the tortoise being hurt. And so if you can come along and make a legal ruling and say, let me put it this way. I come up to Moriarty And I come up and say, well, you can stay in your house for now, but I'm taking you front yard. And then I'm kicking your door in before you know it. That's how this so-called justice system works. There ain't no justice, not for just us, at all. Is it important?
You know, and I know, and most other people probably realize, whether they want to admit it to themselves or not, that the government, whoever the agents there of the government and those that create the so-called laws and regulations, don't give a crap about the tortoise, the turtle. They are about control. So when they go there and say, okay, you can't use this land because you're hurting the tortoise, that's a huge lie. And they know it, and you know it, but it still goes forward in that way.
Cough button. Let's look at the tortoise. What is the actual facts? Well, okay, so many years ago when they moved the sheep through across the Virgin River there, along where Clive and Bundy is at. About 6,000 some odd sheep they moved through in so many days. Crap everywhere. There was a huge populations of tortoise there. You just go to other places and you can see where there's poop, the tortoise thrives. When you go back to the early 1900s, when they about devastated the land, when you know, had the rainforest. Let me hit that button, get out of the way. All the foliage, you know, was eaten out, and most of it, and the tortoise population was huge. I've got information on that with all the numbers. You go to places where, like in the test range where they've put up fence and excluded any cattle, the tortoise population is devastated down to extinction level. So to say you want to protect the tortoise by killing the cow, you're killing them, killing it all. And that's what that lie is. And why can't that be seen? Why is the Bundy saying no? Because the BLM became Kieron Suckling sued. They've enforced policy upon people and steal their property from them. If I came to your house and kicked in your door after saying, Grimner, can I just camp out in your front yard in my tent? And then next thing I'm kicking your door in. What are you going to do? Are you going to just say, yeah, cool, man, come on in. There's Dice Box. Help yourself to a cold, what is it, beers right here, IPA? How'd you get to Little Rock and get them beers would be the first thing I asked you, Grimner. But no, I wouldn't have a chance because what would happen? I'd see the end of a double barrel, right? Would you be wrong in defending your property? Wait a minute. Let's make it official. I've got a badge. I'll just put on a badge and say, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Does that make it better? You say, I don't want no help. I'm not here to help you, but to help you out of what you got.
Yeah. But it wouldn't be a double barrel. It would be a pump.
Okay.
just pump, for informational
pump
purposes.
It up. Pump, pump. It don't matter. When it comes out the end, you're not counting past one anyways if you're on the other end of it. That's gun control, sir.
It would be double aught, but it wouldn't be double barrel.
plus aught equals not.
Anyway, okay, so you have now in this series another 1.5 episodes to go.
Yeah. And this is just a practice run for the actual next one, and I think that would probably happen next fall. Maybe go back into it. And redo the 13.5, but I want to do it right, and so I'll need a lot of time to actually go back. This writing business, I ain't crazy about it at all. I don't like it. It requires a lot of time and effort, and you know. But I do apply, not enough to be an expert. I'm, kind of trying to make that better, right? There's an obligation, and that's why I have to. Is just can't be a spraddling idiot, right? Without knowing what you're talking about.
These people are laughing at me.
Good. Good. That's good.
All right. So you're going to redo the entire series in a more
exact and concise. And what it's supposed to be. Oh, yes, here. Big shout out to the Idaho Patriots. I have right here a pocket constitution of the United States signed by Clive and Bundy. And this goes on the auction block to support the political prisoners. I haven't gone to see if I got any bids on it yet. Hey, put a bid in. I'll bring the link back for it if you're in support of American ideas of what it really should be. That's just the government is not there to help you out of what you got, but to stay out of what you got. It is important. Why does it matter? What matters is because who's next? Shout out, Brian Hyde. You're next, believe it. The hangman? You don't want to be the last man standing.
I'm not trying to steer you in any direction. I just give you my view on, and apparently I'm not the only one, Moose Girl. We've heard this ad nauseum, and at this point in time, I don't know. I mean, what else can be what can be said that's going to improve the situation? What can be done? Other than, I mean, okay, here it is. We're keeping it in view. Or you're keeping it in view by talking about it and discussing it, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's important.
Obviously, there's importance to it, and if you let one of these things slip by, whether it's this one or any of the other ones that have gone on in various areas, apparently they go after certain types of people, then you're basically giving permission for them to go ahead and do whatever the frick they want.
Right.
Which... Ooh, we don't want them to have that idea, that view, and that ability.
Let me go back then. We got we're 52 minutes in, so let's run past the hour because I started the record late because the buttons. Anyway, so go back to 2013. I started into radio at UCY, and that came because I met James Freeland, and we talked. Do you know? And from there, I went through a lot of topics and ideas and discussions, some 66 broadcast weeks at UCY. And from there, I evolved through. In 2014, I'm in Vegas, and I see on Facebook what's going on up there in Bunkerville. Now, I lived up in WAP. I went to school in eighth grade. I worked. I fell in love for the first time, the real love, so it said, in Glendale. I worked there. Then later on, up into Mesquite, I worked there. In eighth grade, I went to school in Moapa Valley. We played football against Mesquite, and I always kicked your butt. I'm tough-ass cowboys up there, you know. So I have more of a connection. I mean, it's not like I'm just like jumping on some bandwagon or something. My mom lived there in Moapa Valley for many years. I went back and forth over my life there. Now I have a connection. I've been all over that part of the country, horseback, three-wheeling, back before the days of the four-wheeler. I myself, I don't call myself a cowboy, but I work cattle, live on the land, farm, cut hay, all that stuff. I know what life is, in a sense. I do have a connection, and as self-proclaimed member of media, I took that duty to go up there and report on that Bundy Ranch situation and to stand in the gap. I don't know who coined that, but that's what I use, standing in the gap. And that's what a lot of people did to prevent an army of federal agents to come in. And what would have happened if they wouldn't have been there? Clive and Bundy would have been dead. I'll guarantee you they had a kill list. Is it important? Should I let it drop? No. Not no, but hell no. I won't. And I just want to keep saying it till I say it, till it's heard, and I say it right. And that's where this learning to write right or write well comes in. And I have to give credit where credit's due and appreciation by critics. Sky Reeve, the sheriff, he said, try again. What are you trying to say here? So I can't just like type crap. I look back at what I write and it's like, man, I need to tie these together right. So I just keep trying. That's the type of person I am.
I can tell you from personal experience and talking to you that sometimes the phraseologies that you use confuse the hell out of me.
That is Vinny speak, and it is...
Pretty bad. Sometimes I wonder for even speaking the same language.
Sometimes I do it on purpose, though, you know.
Yeah, well.
I like to play with words.
Yeah.
I got a jar full of them right here. And it's bottomless. If I can open this thing. I got it sealed tight because you have to guard your words, right? Watch. Word. Shut up. Got them back in there. One got out. All right. There we go. Put that back down there. I always keep your words guarded because they can be used against you. Can and will be.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then thinking about that, you ever been like so mad? You, oh, I'll kill you. Do you really mean you're going to kill him? No. But, wow, that's conspiracy right then, all of a sudden, in federal court. They always bring this conspiracy and they always have the...
It's not if you're the only one. There have to be two people at least to have a conspiracy.
Yeah, but can you conspire or prospire? Perspire in the perspiracy. Spiracy, that's all it really is. There's some more Vinny speak. Thank you very much. Whatever the actual call it, they can... well, let's say terroristic threatening would be, I guess, the actual charge. If you, ooh, I'm going to kill you, terroristic threatening. They're moving. I seen the link here the other day. They're moving to expand the definition of domestic violence to include a broader perspective. Say, if I was camped out in your yard and you said, hey, man, time to move on, pal. Here, let me, I got you a lunch packed anyways. I help you get your feet under you and get you on your way. And I said, no, sir. Matter of fact, get out of my way. I'm coming in. You can move your pillow out on the couch. I got your bedroom. No, that's just not good, right? What would you do? No, hell no.
There would be, it would not be pretty.
there's a title, There Will Be Blood. But no, what happens then, I say, I call the police and I say, Mr. Policeman, this man right here being mean to me and want me to leave his property. And I got rights. And they say, Mr. Sorry, you got to not be answered. Mr. Where'd I go? Yeah, so you're being mean to me. And what happens? They take you to jail. Domestic violence. Broader definition of this domestic thing. How do you like that? Hold on one second. Persistent, aren't they? Let me hit a mute. Ellis.
What do you go? You got to answer that, I guess. All right, so, well... Let me see what's going on in the chat here.
Come on, I'm on the radio.
Oh,
right.
Boy.
I'll be off in just
so he's trying to pull info out of his chat. Says Cowboy Tick, what are the odds that a 20-year time period, something else will come up that supersedes 20-year time period or anything? Oh, lots of stuff could happen.
Okay.
Moose Girl says, the story is what it is.
It ain't over. Remember that.
Hansel, quoting the military, apparently, says you need three people to have a conspiracy, which is incorrect. But that's the military for you. Often, usually, generally incorrect.
Well, all the federal court charges they always have, they always include conspiracy in all these charges, and that's the one that really gets you, is conspiracy, which is crap. They come back, if you beat a charge in state court, the feds can often come back and refile in the separate jurisdiction of conspiracy. Well, you thought about it, you talked about it. Look what's going on with Matt Shea up there in the Pacific Northwest. Well, we run into an hour, Grimner. Let me, let's close out. I know we didn't get to all of it, but I appreciate you coming on to help me a little bit walk through here. And I know I didn't put it all in the right order, and that's what I'm working on, putting it all in the right order and condense it down into this. Oh, I was talking about the pocket-sized Constitution. I want 13 and a half pages when I'm done in the very revised. I want to make it so simple that you can read it in a couple of minutes right there. And that's my end goal. And like I said, I'm going to do it till I do it right. That's just the way I am.
Well, it doesn't need to be long. The Constitution's only 1,440 words.
That's what I'm saying. They've got to revise to get to that. So here's this, get to the index at page 40. So I think that's what needs to come down to, you know, the finalization of my setting a record, my testimony, my statement, my witness in this matter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me close out. This is this has been a Ponder Gander. The great Grimner has come along and rode this rodeo with me, talking about the Bundy Ranch situation, and it ain't over. So this will continue. There's still the appeal by the state for the dismissal with prejudice against the Bundys. They want to bring them back to trial. So it ain't over. The cows are still on the land, the cattle, that is. It ain't over. There's still an order to get the cows off. It ain't over. The cow's still there. So what's good? Who's next and what happens next? We're gonna keep watching because it ain't over. Did I say it ain't over? It ain't over. Well, today it is over for today anyways on this broadcast right here at RealLibertyMedia.com. Stick around on the Freakers Friday. Free is spelled with two E's. Be free and be here if you want to come along tonight. And blast off with Grammy in her rocket chair, 6 o'clock.
Not Grammy tonight.
Oh, that's right. She said that Wednesday. I forgot. Thanks, Grim. Well, then come back at 11 Eastern for the Freakers. No, Moosey's going to music. It's going to be Balls to the Wall, right?
That's right.
Hey, Balls to the Wall at 11 Eastern.
You know, she told me what the show was, and as usual, I've forgotten which band is playing.
What the venue. what was it? Foo? Something foo? What was it, Moosey? Foo. Foo-hoo.
He'll get to us when he gets there.
Yeah. Excuse me. Okay. So, Balls to the Walls tonight. So what are you going to do tonight, Grimner? Put your balls to the wall! And that ain't really what... Tell the folks what that really means, because people don't understand what that actually means.
Well, it's not putting your balls to the wall.
Right.
It's you... putting their balls to the wall.
That's right. And
you're backing them up against the wall because of you're tired of them trying to constrain and control you. And they are done, and you finished, and enough people rise up, and you put their balls to the wall.
And that's what the Bundys are doing. Putting
there you
their
go.
Balls to the walls, and that's what it's about. What matters? That's where I started in radio. What matters? It is worldwide, and especially when this occupier upon us intends to dominate and control every living thing on this earth. It's bad. Okay, Freakers today. Balls to the walls, but still be free. Now come back tomorrow for the Dork Table. That is at, I'm going to try it Eastern Time, 12 noon Eastern with Flash Somebody, and he'll try to capture a hostage. I hope to be
the big woo at the Metro.
Woo, yeah, big woo. Woo-hoo. Then Sunday, this is the big day right here at RealLibertyMedia.com, RLMRadio.xyz. This is, you definitely want to be here. Come early, about a quarter to noon, Grim sneaks in and pre-tunicates the blues.
That's right. Come early and come often.
That's right. Yeah, and if you got fast fingers or fat stubby ones, come along and push some buttons and play some trivia with us right here. We've got some masterminds. You'll do well if you can beat them with the answer. Then this is where you really need to be. At noon o'clock out on the left coast towards the Pacific side of the country, Hal Anthony comes from behind the woodshed and opens a big old can of whoop-ass. Again, people are confused about that. He ain't whooping your ass. You're taking them back there, putting their balls to the walls and whooping no ass. All right, get here and learn how to walk through this life and not get trampled by that beast of the occupation. And that is, again, noon out on the left coast. Hell in it. Monday, what you didn't get done on Fridays, you come back with some grim leftovers, 7 p.m. Eastern on Mondays. That's right, the great Grimner. Come get you some. It's yum yum, I'm telling you. Tuesday, we're back in a perfect world and contrasting the occupation where I sometimes most often get over here with Mr. Lou, who you knew as Flash Somebody, to contrast the occupation. And back again for Wednesdays, another blast off event. Get your gas on with Grammy at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And thanks for listening, folks, to the Rattle and Prattle.
Say before you go off there, uh-huh. We have, at this point in time, most days of the week, a one show on Real Liberty Media.
Yes, sir.
On Fridays, we get three, and on Saturdays, we get a couple. I mean, on Saturdays, Sundays, we get two. But we would like you out there listening in that are not doing a radio show to maybe think about doing one. And if you decide, hey, I got something to say, I want to say something, I want people to hear my words, message me. Tell me you want to do it. And I'll set you all up. I'll get you going, and you'll be on the radio just like we are now.
Yoo-hoo. And you know what? I can't understand why we've not got full up on the schedule over here. Did you find it? You did? No way. Where was it? Oh, wow. Hey, what we're talking on live radio. Say hello to the worldwide.
Hello, world.
Hi.
Grimner said hi. That's the great group. So we're going up to see some Lost Dogs
street band.
Right on. And you've got your name on the list, and I'm kind of shuffling in with y'all, huh?
Yeah, we'll be doing it.
So it's in Tulsa, and when is the, what day is it? Is it on Sunday?
It's Monday.
Cool. And we're going to go up and stop along up by the Buffalo River, Lost Creek.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah, into the world, and the beautiful world. And are you going to work?
Yeah.
You're not playing hooky?
I don't want to, but yeah.
All right.
Hey, you know what would be cool, Vinny?
I see ya. Hold on a minute. Wait. Go ahead, Grim. Wait.
You know what would be cool?
Huh?
Take your whatever device you use when you're out on street reporting.
Yeah, I'm going.
And interview some of the people at the show.
You know it. Look, I've got laminated
totally
paper.
Totally different taste of the Vinny speak.
Hey,
just
I see you, girl.
Talking to people at a music show. And
tell me you can come down. Cool. Right on.
That would be cool. Record some of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, cool. So, I've been doing this for a little while. You helped me make this. Matter of fact, this is one I was just showing her. This is the first one. This is a non-laminated copy. It says Press Pass. And we came back together and said, I asked none for permission, and take that pass off and kiss my ass if you think otherwise. So, yeah, Real Liberty Media. It says official. That makes it real.
It's official. People like the word official. I don't know why, but they do.
Because it's official. Official sounding.
You're official. That makes you an authority.
Aha. Yeah, so they're on the list.
No, I got to not be on here anymore.
What?
I said, let's wrap up this show.
Oh, I got to go. Oh, okay. So we ran through the schedule, and we told you what it's all about. And, yes, I'm going back out in the world here just a little bit. Finish this up. What I want to do is come back and refocus. As you said, there's some more important stuff that I've left off my duty and obligation in that I've self-assigned, and that is the post-production for Hal Anthony, and also to to spread the word and get it out there and get people to really get involved in saying no, not just because you say so. No government at gunpoint. And I think
not just no, but hell no.
Hell no, that's right. Anyways, thank you, Grimner, for coming along, and I will push buttons. You want to go ahead and knock out this post-production right now? Because I've really got a big case of the lazies, but at least we can set it there, and I'll come back to revise and update the R-Log.
All right, well, go ahead and kill the stream and the recording.
All right. Well, thank you again, Grimmer, and thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll be back. Come on tonight and get with Great Graham and listen to some smashing balls on the walls, y'all. And let's see ya. Bye-bye.